talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday, Friday, August 23rd, 2019. You're tuned into the Exchange Club. Brandy Downs, Charlie Evers, ready for our regular Friday hullabaloo here of current events and things going on locally and nationally and so on and so forth. How's your week been, Charlie?
It's been busy.
A busy week? Another doctor's appointment today?
Several.
Several?
Yeah, one more today.
You go to the eye doctor who pushed you over the edge last time you...
That's right, yeah.
Right, so everything will be good today. Brandy, how's it going?
Very busy. First week of back to school, so everyone's...
How's that going? How's your kids doing?
Going well. Yeah.
Good, good. A lot
they
of,
like their teachers?
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Do they have homework already and things of that nature?
I think they've had a little bit of homework, but I still have two at home that are homeschooling, so they love their teacher.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. You do the homeschooling. I forgot about that. Why have we ever asked? I don't think we did. Why did you decide to homeschool?
Oh, there were a lot of reasons, but.
Well, what's number one?
Mainly, I just had one child who it was the best option for. Just needed a little more time at home.
Now, what dictates the start of your homeschooling?
Me.
Okay.
Have you started?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, what is your degree in what is it?
Well, I have a degree in criminal justice.
Criminal justice.
Yes.
That's interesting.
With a minor in microbiology.
So what did you want to be?
That's good for fingerprints.
You can run fingerprints on
people.
You
can tell what the criminal is suffering from.
So what did you want to be when you were growing up?
A forensic pathologist.
So what happened?
A lot happened.
A little gruesome.
The worst year of my life, and it kind of...
Led you away from criminal justice?
Yeah, led me away from a lot of stuff.
Would that be examining murder victims?
Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to do, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. See, I would never be into that. But I was never in the medical idea anyway.
But mentally, wouldn't it be something to examine someone's been butchered?
Awful.
Cut up?
Awful.
I kind of felt like that would be easier than dealing with people who were living and like in pain for me. I don't know. I have great empathy for people when they're in pain, so I thought it might be easier to deal with when they're dead.
Well,
or to go into a morgue and they pull open a drawer and what do you think?
What do you think? What do you think they died from?
I mean, I did an internship at the funeral home and that did not bother me. So
well, that's good.
So. So what was the major turning point of why you didn't do this?
Oh, my gosh. Why is this show about me today?
Well, this is just this conversational.
I don't want to.
We got time to spare this week. What changed it?
Well, lots of stuff. I mean, mainly I moved to Ohio, met my husband, moved to Ohio, and then 2 months later my mom died, and just everything kind of changed, and I made
So where were
choices.
You working when you moved to Ohio?
Where was I? Oh, I had three jobs.
Well, nothing in that field.
No, I had finished my internship at the funeral home, and I had worked at Sears for many years at that point. So I was working there. I was tutoring at the university that I went to, and then I was working for my church as well. So.
And now you're happy with everything being away from all of that?
Yep.
Good. Well, that didn't sound... Okay. You didn't convince me with that, but...
No, I mean, someday, okay. Like, when my children are done, when I'm done homeschooling, I would like to get back into, you know, the career world. It's not... I don't want to not work for the rest of my life.
A lot of people try to do that.
They do try to do that, and I think that's a nice way to get through it. All right.
I'm thinking about doing that, too.
When you're going to head back into career,
the
career world?
Yeah, if I just get the money for college.
You do it.
We can go together, Charlie.
Yeah.
You want to come to med school with me?
Or I can be a forensic pathologist.
Yes, yes. I can study myself.
You could study yourself. Cure all your diseases.
Yeah.
You'd be fine. It'd be you would have to visit the hospital less. It'd be great. Now,
oh
see,
my.
This is a nice way to start.
It sure is.
Yeah, why not?
No. Yeah.
Now, the first story is a local story this week, which is an interesting story because Sue McGowan was on yesterday with Glenn Copel, and she is running as an independent candidate for mayor this coming November. Now, we learned this past week that apparently she might be taken off the ballot per the Secretary of State, but we don't know if that's going to happen yet or not. Secretary of State has not rendered any kind of decision in this matter. But apparently what happened was in the May primary, she voted in her ward as a Democrat. And I guess there's a rule that says if you vote in a primary as a party, you can't run as an independent. But the problem is she got her petition filed, and the Board of Elections did certify her as an independent.
And not realizing they...
Didn't realize.
Okay.
And then there was a date that you have to complain. You can dispute her being on there, but nobody disputed it. So that date came and went. Well, then somebody decided to dispute it 2 weeks later, They decided to take a vote anyway, so I guess that date is optional. You can complain by, and so it was split 2-2. The Democrats wanted to take her off the ballot. The Republicans wanted to leave her on the ballot, so now it goes to the Secretary of State, and Sue's threatening to get a lawyer if they take her off the ballot. Why? I mean, at this particular point, she's an independent candidate. I don't understand what taking her off the ballot at this point would do except cause problems.
Yeah, only doing what would be legal. If taking her off the ballot would be a legal procedure, it'd have to be. And eliminate an opinion, somebody saying, well, probably shouldn't do that, but legally, what do they have to do?
Well, apparently they don't have to do it legally because the board certified her petition, and there was a date that people could complain by, and they didn't.
Well, I was at this meeting.
Oh, good.
I was at the Board of Elections meeting. So, first, Ray Grogan was there.
The prosecutor.
To offer legal counsel to the Board of Elections, and he had only gotten word of the protest that morning, so he needed more time to look into the nuances of the law and whether or not they were able to take her off of the ballot. That was part of what was in question. Because they did... There were people asking about the validity of having her on the ballot before the date passed, but they didn't get an answer back until the day after when they would have had to have filed their protest. Does that make sense?
Well, yes. So legally, what would they have had to do?
So they would have had to have officially filed a protest before July 30th. July 30th was the cutoff date. But they didn't get an answer back about whether or not she had actually voted in the primary and whether or not they could protest until July 31st.
But didn't the Board of Elections have that information?
Well, my understanding from the Board of Elections is what happened was after the primary, the Secretary of State kind of locks down their voting system for a period of time until the Secretary of State sorts through everything that they need to sort through. And so they can't upload, download, search for any of that stuff. So there was a window of time where they didn't know whether or not Sue McGowan had voted in the primary.
Hmm.
And because voting is anonymous, obviously, you know, we can't just have somebody say, yes, she voted this way or that way or whatever. So by the time that they figured it out and all of the people who needed to answer the question got back, it was past the date to file the protest.
How do you know that? How do you know how she voted?
Well, she told us.
So, but why didn't somebody just ask her then?
Doesn't she declare that when she goes up to the...
I mean, if I go and vote, how can somebody know who I voted for?
Well, they're not supposed to. That's the
no,
thing.
They don't know who you voted to, but
they know which ballot you took.
Yes, right.
Right. So they know that she voted in a primary.
Yeah, because in Ohio, the way that you register as any given party is by voting in that party's primary.
But is she she's a registered Democrat?
Currently, but she doesn't intend to be a Democrat. She has voted Republican in the past. She's voted Democrat. She's voted I don't even know what else.
Well,
so,
now here isn't the problem of this whole thing. In the entire city, back in May, the only primary was in her ward.
The fifth ward.
The fifth
yeah.
ward where she voted for Tara Dyer. I think
right.
she said over Tanner Hale. So if she had been in any other ward, there would have
there
been
have
no
been
primary,
problem.
And she would have had no problem.
You know, at the same time, and I completely believe that Sue McGowan is, in fact, an independent. I don't believe that she has any intention of being a Democrat going forward. But I really do wish that if someone's going to run for mayor, know your stuff.
You know, well, like, but this shouldn't the Board of Elections know their stuff?
Yeah, well, there were multiple balls dropped. You know, Sue dropped the ball by not knowing that if you vote in a primary, you're declaring party.
Did you know that?
Yes.
That's right, and you'll get correspondence throughout the year from the party.
Yeah, but did you
party.
Know that voting in a primary disqualifies you as...
As running for an independent, yes.
That's common knowledge. I wouldn't think that'd be... Did you know that,
so.
Charlie?
Well, if you're running for mayor, don't you think you should know whether or not you can vote in a primary or not?
but why can't you say...
You need to have your ducks in a row if you plan to run
the
city.
Yeah, but there is no independent party. There's no independent party headquarters in Marion.
No, but here's the thing. She went up first. She voted twice, okay? Not in the illegal way. I don't want anyone to think that she did anything illegal. But she first went up and she said, I'm an independent. And so they gave her an issues-only ballot. She voted on it. Came back to the table, is my understanding, struck up conversation with the poll worker, told them that, in fact, there was a candidate she wished she could vote for in the primary, and according to Sue, now we don't know who the poll worker is, but according to Sue, the poll worker said, well, you can vote for whoever you want to. And Sue says, okay, even if I'm running as an independent, and the poll worker supposedly says... Yes, and voids out her old vote, gives her a Democrat ballot.
Oh, see, that's even worse. That's even worse. See, that to me is on the poll worker, not on Sue.
Well, if in fact that happened, we don't know who the poll worker is. We haven't heard anything from them. We've only heard Sue's side of the story.
Okay, but isn't the problem here that the Board of Elections has to certify somebody's petition? Shouldn't there be a question on there? Did you vote in the primary?
Well, there is supposed to be somebody checking that. And like I said, multiple balls dropped. That was definitely a ball that was dropped.
But if the Board of Elections, who is there to certify, Sue McGowan cannot certify a petition.
Right.
The whole point of them being on that board and people being paid down at the Board of Elections is to make sure that doesn't happen. So if they screwed it up, well.
And yes, I agree. And their argument was that their voting system was shut down. They couldn't adequately check.
Well, how could you ever know then?
Well, that's a good question. Like I said, I didn't like that explanation.
Sounds like there's some faulty explanations on all sides.
I think there were a lot of balls dropped here. It's an unfortunate situation. I personally do not believe the Secretary of State will remove her from the ballot.
No,
she'll be on in November because it's too close to the election.
Well, I also think they'll say that this is incompetence on the Board of Elections part. And also, it does not look good that the person who brought the protest is the husband of a former Board of Elections board member, and also the former head of the Democratic Party in Marion. And why was this a party line vote? Nobody's been able to explain that to me. Now, why was it? Because they could have removed her here in Marion. It didn't have to go to the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that a big, well-known Democrat, a former city council Democrat, long-serving 20-year city council Democrat, brought this to the attention of the board? And why did the two Democrats currently on the board vote to remove her and the Republicans voted to save her? Why was that party line?
Well, I don't know why it was party line, to be quite honest with you. You'd have to ask the person who brought the protest what I think the rationale was for that.
I think we can all read between the lines, as they say.
I can tell you that for the two Democrats on the Board of Elections, their argument was that, you know, this was a mistake. She shouldn't have been on the ballot in the first place. And that if we don't remove her, it's going to set precedent later on. And, you know, there are going to be people who say, well, Sue McGowan voted in the primary on the ballot. And so that was their argument for voting to remove her. And, you know, and they knew if it went to the Secretary of State, we may not have an answer.
And the Republican and the Republicans.
I don't know why the Republicans.
Well, we
voted
said the Republicans said the reason. I think I read this in the paper. The Republicans said that yes, it shouldn't have happened, but we made the mistake, so we can't penalize because we made the mistake. What precedent is it going to set, though?
Now, did the poll worker enable her to vote twice?
Well, you can you can invalidate somebody's vote and then vote
after
have
they
them vote
voted
again
they?
if something happens.
How
yeah.
do they invalidate?
Well, it's all computerized
Technical.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but explain to me why. I mean, we have a Democrat running for mayor, current mm-hmm. mayor, 12-year incumbent, Mayor Schertzer. We have a Republican running for mayor, current at-large councilman Kevin Norris, and one independent made it through. Now, it's interesting to me because Ed McCants wanted to run as an independent. Ed McCants went out and filled out a ballot, and they disqualified him right away because he didn't have the proper signatures on the ballot. So it's not like they weren't looking out for things. It looks bad that you come, 70 days before the election and try to wipe her off, and it's a party line thing. That doesn't look very good.
But it wasn't really 70 days before the election. Like I said, there were people asking questions well before that point. They just didn't get answers until.
Did they ever ask her?
Well, I think some people knew. I don't know who was privy to that information. I mean, she was very open about.
Yeah, but
why
was it? But why wasn't the protest, even though they didn't know for sure, let's say they didn't know for sure because everything was locked up with the Secretary of State, why not file the protest before the date?
I don't know.
And say, I think this has happened.
I don't know. You'd have to ask.
Well, but I mean, doesn't that, I mean, that doesn't look all that great.
I'm not privy to the information of every. Every Democrat
no, we don't
in the
know.
City.
We don't know for sure, but I mean, doesn't that seem a little funny, Charlie? I mean, you could go in and say, "I think this is what's going on," and maybe I should protest before the protest date is up.
I don't think there was a lot of clarity for the person filing the protest. Even Ray Grogan wasn't sure about when exactly the dates were. That's the thing. There are legal matters, but it's not always 100% clear when you read Ohio Revised Code what the heck they're talking about. It's all in legalese.
So what good does taking her off the ballot do?
Nothing is, I mean, as far as I can.
So why would remove some votes?
That's what it looks like. We're talking about optics, and I'm not saying that's what it is, but it would seem to me that if you just read that story as an innocent bystander, you would say that the Democrats are more worried that this independent candidate is going to siphon votes from the Democrat than the Republican and possibly elect the Republican. It doesn't make any sense any other way you read it.
I don't know. I can tell you I wasn't. Yeah. I mean, I don't have any issue with Sue McGowan being on the ballot.
No, but I think also the fact that she voted in the Democratic primary, which we now know.
Yes, but she has voted. She's said point blank that she's voted Republican in the past, that she has never voted just one party or the other. And I believe her when she says that she is a true independent. So.
And she just did it because a poll worker mistakenly gave some bad information, we think.
Now, that's did the poll word. Worker have to turn that into the election board to say, I did this?
Mm-hmm. We have to document. I mean, we've talked about here before, right, that I worked at the polls. And so, yes, you have to document whenever you're doing that kind of stuff.
And the poll worker did tell them?
I don't know. Yeah. But I'm not privy to that information.
But let's say the Secretary of State does pull her from the ballot. Okay, if that happens, now she's already threatened to file a lawsuit. Now what mess is that going to throw the mayoral election into? I don't think that would be a very good situation.
Right. Well, I mean, I thought we should probably follow the advice of counsel there, and he wanted a couple more days, and then...
Well, that's another thing. Ray Grogan said, maybe we need to look at this a little longer, and the Democrats wouldn't wait for that. They want to take the vote right then. Why?
Well, like I said, the only explanation I was given was that they were worried about the precedent that it would set. Beyond that, I can't tell
you
anything.
But what would 2 days have done?
Well, it wasn't clear how many days that would take. And the recommendation of counsel beyond, let me have a couple of days to look into the nuances of the timeline, was also, let's have a hearing and swear people in.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure what that would have accomplished either.
Well, because if then Sue is lying about the poll worker and you find that out, well, then she's committed a crime.
But how are you going to find that out?
Well,
I mean, I don't have a poll worker ID when I'm scanning things into the computer to, you know, bring up a voter's registration and give them their little QR code stuff. I don't have a voter ID to tell
but,
you.
Yeah, but remember, there was only one primary and one ward for one party. I'm
right.
Sure there were not a lot of poll workers at that particular place that day. And if you swore them in... maybe Sue Woods, I'm sure she knows what the lady looks like, who she dealt with. Swear that woman in.
I don't know that it was a woman.
Swear that poll worker in. Swear that poll worker in.
I don't think Sue said who it was. But.
I think it'd be easy to find this person. I don't think it'd be all that difficult. It's not like it was a general presidential election.
Well, and then the other thing is, I mean, that was all the way back in May. And I saw a lot of people on Election Day. I talked to a lot of people.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Not sure that I would necessarily remember... whether somebody came in and wanted me to invalidate their vote for XYZ reason. I mean, I'm not sure that I would remember in August, you know?
Well, I'm not sure that it's a poll worker's job to be giving advice like that.
Well, no, I mean, but part of that is on Sue. Like, you can't depend on the poll worker to know whether or not you, as a mayoral candidate, are allowed to vote in a primary. You call the Board of Elections. Find out yourself. You should know that going in.
But again, it's back to why did the Board of Elections certify her petition if they did not check one of the things that would disqualify her?
Yep. Poll was dropped.
There you go. So, whatever. It would seem to me that she's going to stay on the ballot because the Secretary of State... I think it would be very difficult for them to pull her off this close to the election. What do you think, Charlie?
No, I would agree.
Yeah. So you think she'll stay, and have no problem with it?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was my opinion, was that if it goes to the Secretary of State, I think she'll stay on the ballot because I think it's too close before the election for them, by the time they make a decision to pull her. I don't know.
And we'll see.
On the other hand, it would be interesting to know what each candidate is main... Their main, what does Sue plan to do if she was mayor? What does Kevin plan to do? What would the current mayor continue to do?
We're not sure. Kevin wrote a thing in the Marion Star and says he's going to let us know, so that's coming down the pike. Sue was on here with Glenn yesterday. She talked about a few things, drug issues, getting a detox.
They all talk about the drug issue. That's the first thing.
Now, Mayor Schertzer, I haven't heard a whole lot from, but I might have just missed it on what he plans to do for a fourth term. I don't know. He's welcome to come on and let us know. We'd
love
to hear.
Maybe he thinks it's not important to say anything.
Maybe.
Just run on his past.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out as time goes on. Now, the other local story this week is a positive local story, and we'll just breeze on past this. And we've talked a lot of... we breeze on past the positive ones.
We don't want to talk,
about the negative. The schools here in Marion City, the academy, the middle school academy and the high school academy will be renamed for Mary Ellen Withrow. Significant because it's the first school in Marion County history to be named for a woman and also the first to be named for a living person. Now, the poignancy behind this is, as we talk about the man-woman thing all the time, why did it take so long for a school to be named after a woman? And it's my understanding, and Mary Ellen deserves it without question, but that part of this is because there are no schools named for women. That's why this is being done. Do you think that figured
in? These two schools were not
in use.
In use, yeah. And so it's a new thing.
One will still be housed inside of the Boys and Girls Club on Oak Street.
That's right.
And Colonial Acres on Amherst was shut down for a period of time because of the closing of Rushmore Academy a year or so ago. So, it's great. And I think it'll be a great time, and Mary Ellen deserves it. But is it significant that a woman now will have her name on a school here in Marion? Because that's how it was framed.
It would be more significant if it was Harding High School.
Take Harding's name off.
Yeah.
Just do away with it.
Oh, Charlie, you're starting a firestorm.
You think that's where we should do it? Just change it all.
Yeah.
I'm for that, Charlie. Let's get it done.
So you do care that it's a woman.
Well, I mean, there is no question that Mary Ellen Withrow is significant
to
Marion,
no doubt,
the state of Ohio, to the country as a whole.
But is this about a woman? In that meeting, was there thought given that we have never had a school named for a woman?
I don't know. I was not at that meeting.
Did we ever have a school named for anyone other than a president?
Yes, Mark Street, Silver Street, Park, Colonial Acres, Oak Street, Ridgedale, River Valley, Elgin, Pleasant. Mm-hmm. So, there's never been one for a woman, but there have been a lot for men. Taft, Harding, Grant, Harrison.
What about your school when you went to school, Charlie?
I went to a Catholic school.
Did you?
And
was
Cyrus
it named
High
for a
School.
Woman, was it?
Was it named for a nun?
I was taught
sometimes
by nuns.
But they weren't named for nuns.
No. Holy Trinity. It was named for the triune God.
But I bet there was some discussion, and she deserves it more than anybody else I can think of, man or woman. I'm not saying that. But I bet there was discussion given to the fact that we don't have a school ever named for a woman in this county with 5 school districts, and this is the year that women got the right to vote, the 100th anniversary, and next year's the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote in a presidential election. I would think there was probably thought given to that. Maybe not. Apparently 4 people made this decision.
Well, good. I hope people are thinking about women and the way they're represented in society.
But a lot of people get in trouble for that, because Madeleine Albright got in trouble for saying if you don't vote for the woman and you are a woman, there's a special place downstairs for you.
That's different than... Huh. That's She's not dead really now, what we're talking
about. No, she's still
about.
Alive.
No, we're talking about...
No, Madeleine
about...
Murray's dead.
No, Madeleine Albright is what I'm talking
Albright.
About. Madeleine Murray's dead.
Oh, Murray, yeah. That's...
Murray, she didn't say that. She talked all about God.
What about Madeleine Albright? Who was she?
Secretary of State.
Yeah.
First female Secretary
of State.
What'd
she say that was important?
She said that if you didn't vote for Hillary Clinton and you were a woman for president, that there was a special place in...
in hell.
Yeah, hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to lay off that, because last week there were like 2 words that were said that were not bad, but whatever.
I think I... said H-E double hockey stick instead of
right? That's what you said. But I don't see, but I do think there is that worry that are we doing this just because, not with Mary Ellen, don't stay away from that. But I'm just saying, do we do things just because it's a woman, because women have been put down? Because we just had that discussion about the $20 bill. And we're not going to do that now for time being.
Well, if we never consider it, nothing will ever change.
Right, but are we doing it just to do it, or are we doing it because we should?
I think we're doing it because Mary Ellen Withrow is significant.
Not Mary Ellen. No, let's not. No.
Well,
let's
but
not
that's
conflate.
What we're
otherwise.
Talking about.
Otherwise.
But otherwise, on the money, are we doing that because it's important to put a woman on there because there is no woman on the money, or are we doing that because the woman in question is significant? Now, see, I always wondered that because they put it up for a vote. And I thought, did they vote on the other people who were on the money? That didn't make any sense to me.
Well, I think I think the vote was more about public engagement than it was.
Right, but I mean, it was all women. It wasn't about the woman. It wasn't about, yes, this woman deserves, person deserves to be on the money.
It was about the fact that there are many women who are deserving of being on the money, and bringing awareness to that fact, and therefore saying, look, we can do this. We don't have to have
Charlie
just
was
men.
The one who didn't want the women on the money, not me.
I'm not... You asked a question. I'm answering.
You just didn't want an ugly woman on the
money. I want a good looking woman.
A good looking woman.
Yeah,
on the money. I want an ugly woman. You're right. You weren't happy with the one they chose, and you didn't want Eleanor Roosevelt either because she's not a good looking woman.
You're right.
But you want, who was the one you were okay with? Hillary with
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi. Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah, yeah. You wanted Nancy Pelosi on the money.
But the money does have rules about how somebody does have to be deceased for a certain amount of time before they can be on the money. That one does have laws.
Right, right. You
have
to be dead.
So Nancy Pelosi is a no-go.
Well, but interestingly enough, that Mary Ellen is the only living person. See, that's what makes me think about this, because no other living person, including President Harding, has ever had anything, a school named for them while they were alive. So I think, because certainly Mary Ellen is the most significant woman politically for this to ever happen to in Marion. So you wonder, I guess. Wouldn't you? Maybe. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, folks. How are you today?
Good.
Charlie wanted Marilyn Monroe on the money. He wanted somebody good-looking. That was what he had said.
Right, but a couple weeks ago, he went over to Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, she is not very easy on the eyes.
No, she isn't.
Can we find somebody who's pretty and who's important? Someone who's, you know, pretty, I guess, pretty important.
It makes spending money easier.
But yeah, why? I mean, none of the men are pretty.
No.
Yeah, me and Linda were talking about this, Brandy, at the anniversary. We're thinking somebody from the entertainment industry because the music, acting are so important to our culture. And, you know, we could think of many female actresses that have been good activists as well as important to our society. Judy Garland, what do you think about her?
Judy Garland.
There would be a good one.
But I don't think that any actresses were in the running for this money. I think it was people who made a difference in society.
Well, I think actresses make a big difference. Entertainment is an important part of this of our culture and something that I think people think of when they think of America if they're from abroad. Yeah, I mean, obviously in entertainment you're going to find better-looking people. I mean, that's just kind of how it is.
I don't think a person's looks should be considered at all when asking whether or not they should be on the currency.
The most important thing, but I think the money should be attractive.
That's good.
But do you think that the men who are currently on our money are attractive?
The only one, and this came up before, the only one who's attractive that I can think of is John Kennedy on the 50 cent piece, which not a lot of people even use.
You're right.
We do have the dollar coin with Susan B. Anthony, who I think was a great choice. No, she's not the most gorgeous person in the world, but she is an important figure in history, and I wish we had her on a piece of coinage that was used more often. But, again, what Linda and I were talking about, we could possibly put a collage of two or three people in the entertainment industry that could also allow a black person on money.
That's a whole other can of worms. Are we doing it?
Aretha Franklin we came up with, Frank Sinatra, possibly a collage of people like that on the money. That could be a good idea. I think the entertainment industry is important to this country, and someone who made a difference in other ways. And I think Judy Garland, I mean, the movie she starred in 80 years later is still a classic that people of all ages watch. And not to mention her daughter Liza Minnelli and other things that Judy Garland did. She'd be a good choice. Aretha Franklin recently passed away. Someone whose music influences almost everything you hear on the radio today. I think those would be good ideas, but there are so many people that we could put possibly a collage.
Well, we'll see what happens.
That was kind of one thing I was thinking. I agree Marilyn Monroe was an important figure in history, and you know, she was married to one of the greatest baseball players ever. But there may be some better choices, and I'd like to see somebody who made a difference in our society in some way. Is good-looking and is well-known, and I would like to see a woman and a black person, or someone who's female and black.
We shall see what happens.
That will represent our society better. The money, even if they're not presidents. I mean, Alexander Hamilton wasn't a president, for example. The money has old white guys, just like the presidential office does, and I think we do need to change that. The only younger white guy who was a president, and one and good looking, you know, probably what people would agree was Kennedy. And again, who even uses a 50 cent piece? Maybe we need to move Kennedy to a piece of coinage that's used more often. Also, put Susan B. Anthony on something that's used more often, and do a little bit of a change up. You know, I don't know. What do you think, Brandy? Do you have any agreements at all with this entertainment?
Oh, Adam, I think the phone's breaking up a little bit here. I think we might have a bad connection.
Oh well, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Not your fault.
Maybe we should put Alexander Graham Bell on the money. Maybe we need him.
Maybe. Adam, thank you. Appreciate it. So, there you go. We're talking about money. This is the longest conversation in the history of this station. Women on the money, how they look, Hillary Clinton's hair. It'll never end.
Just give me some money.
There you go.
Yeah.
Two more stories this week and down to 10 minutes, and we thank Adam for calling in there. John Kasich's headed to New Hampshire. Now, why?
Oh, he's going to run for president.
We think so. He's back up on the horse again. John Kasich, who said he wasn't going to run because nobody could defeat Trump in a primary. Well, with $75 billion coming in tariffs from China and some other things that have went on lately, apparently John Kasich's out there testing the old water again.
What's the importance of New Hampshire for somebody running for president?
One of the early primaries.
Yeah, it's an early primary.
Is it any indication of win or lose?
Well, if you get ahead there, you're going to get a lot more attention before the other primaries, and maybe people will donate more money, and I'm sure that would help you along. But the question is, should our former governor run in this primary against the president?
He can run only once.
Should he, though? Because historians will say that any president who's primaried loses in the main election.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Well, I mean, he's already had... Aren't there already two Republicans who have announced?
Yeah, but there's no debates, and there's really no primary... I don't see anything with that.
I don't know. I'm the wrong person to...
Would you like to see John Kasich run against him in a primary?
Not particularly.
Okay. Well, John, stay home. Get back to wherever you live. He's still here in Ohio, isn't he?
I don't know.
I think he still lives in Ohio. Good. The last question is an interesting... Who cares? See, this is the problem with John Kasich. Nobody cares. Nobody cared when he ran.
Right.
Nobody cares now.
He's past history.
They cared enough to make him governor of our state. So,
well, the job was open at the time. They had to fill it. Let's see here. Oh, this is the one I wanted to get to because this has to do with age and marriage and all kinds of things. Larry King, who's in the hospital, has now filed for divorce from his wife of 22 years, who's like 30 years younger than him. Now, this is Larry King's seventh divorce. He's 85 years old.
Seventh.
Yeah. Here's an expert on love and marriage, Larry King, Charlie.
Yeah.
He's fallen out of love while he's in intensive care. And he now has sent out divorce papers.
And speaking of good-looking people on dollar bills, you'd never put Larry King on
one. Larry King on the money? Well, what do you make, though, of being 85 with two kids, you know, younger kids, and this is the time you decide to get a divorce? You've irreconcilable differences at 85?
What's the reason he gave?
Well, probably she wouldn't change the bedpan at this point. He's in the hospital. The man's been in the hospital for 4 months.
Well,
but now, isn't this a sign of love? You know, here it is again. Seven times the man's been married. He's got money. He's got stature. He's got the young wife, the trophy wife.
Think how much money he's lost, though, in seven divorces.
Well, think of how much he's going to lose in this one.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Why can't Larry King get it right? Why wouldn't you just stay married to her until you die, which is probably going to be not long with him? Well, that's what her people said. People, when this came out, said Larry's dying and she's not going to pick on a dying man.
But why is it a question of him getting anything right? If he's not happy and he's choosing to get a divorce, is that not the right thing for him?
No, I think it is right for him. But is this a guy who should be making these choices because seven other times it's went flat for him? Maybe he is the problem.
Well, maybe,
but love is
love. And I mean, as long as he's, you know, living his life and according to his rules, and I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make a moral judgment on somebody based on whether or not they stay married. I don't think that's fair.
Well, yesterday, Charlie and I were here, and we ran into somebody who does a show on this station, and this was set off the air, so I don't want to say who it was, but they said they fall in love all the time. Now,
I bet I know who that was.
Okay, but I don't think... How can that be? How can you do that?
Well, what is falling in love? Is it a mental state...
insanity.
No, it's not. It's chemical reactions in your brain that signal the pleasure center.
Based on what?
Based on a whole host of things.
Yeah. I think it's fear of loneliness. This is right. Larry King obviously did not want to live alone. There's no sense of...
Just because that's one person's reason for getting married doesn't mean it's everybody's reason for getting married.
But think about this. Now, let's say you are without a relationship. You have nobody to go out with on Friday night. Maybe this is important to you. Your friends are all married. You're sitting at home alone. You can't do these couples things. And maybe that's very important to your life. Or maybe you're just somebody who doesn't like to live alone. You might think you're in love, but really what you're feeling is the end of these bad things that you're getting rid of. That's not necessarily love.
But it can be both, though. That's the thing. And it's not for you or me or Charlie or anyone else to say whether or not it's actually love. Only the person who is experiencing it can.
That's right.
But do they know?
Determination.
Do they really know?
As much as anyone else does. I mean, who else could possibly know?
Larry King said in this press statement, he said, I've been divorced 7 times, but I was really only in love with 3 women. So there were 4 of them in here that he looks back on and says he did not love.
Okay, but that's Larry King. That's one person. It's not a measure of marriage as an institution.
But if we all sat down here and you said, okay, define love. What are the traits that bring on love? We would all have something different.
Right.
So love is not a real thing. It's more of what you said, I think, a chemical state of mind that sends an endorphin off that makes you feel good.
Which is a real thing. Pain is a chemical reaction in your brain.
Right, but that's not love.
Is it not real?
But it's not love.
But it's real.
Right.
So if you feel love, it's still real, just as it is when you feel pain.
Right, but what I'm saying is that there are a lot of things that set off chemical reactions, like going into shock. You won't feel the pain that you might normally feel if you weren't in shock. When you're in a car accident, a lot of people don't remember it. It doesn't mean anything. It just is a good feeling.
Yeah, but that's all feeling. That's the case for literally every feeling.
I guess the point I'm making here is, okay, let's say you have a really good time with somebody, and it goes on, and it's a wonderful time for 10 years, but you never marry them. Well, maybe that was just a good time. You were having a good time in your life. It doesn't necessarily mean you were in love.
Or maybe you were in love and just chose not to get married because marriage is not the ultimate pinnacle of expression of love.
Apparently for Larry King it was. Well, how do you fall out of love then? The feeling wears off?
Scott.
The feeling wears off?
You're the expert.
No. What happened with me in that particular situation was... No, but the truth is, you've never fallen out... Yeah, you told me you loved your first boyfriend,
uh-huh.
And you fell out of love. So what happened?
Lots of things.
But it wore the chemical reaction off.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say
I said it.
Even after we broke up, there's a grieving period you have to go through. Just because I don't think about my mother every day now that she's dead doesn't mean I love her any less, right?
But you still love her.
Yes.
But you don't love your first boyfriend.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm in love with him in the measure of want to be with him. But there will always be a feeling of love there. Somebody, like if he died, I would... be like, oh, that's awful. It's somebody that I know that I was deeply connected to. It's not an in love.
Oh,
love.
I wouldn't go to funerals of people who I.
Well, I didn't say I was going to his funeral. I just said
you'd just
I
be
would,
sad.
I would have to grieve. Yeah. I mean, it's
well,
somebody
Charlie,
that you knew.
You've ultimately. Had some ex-wives pass on.
Yes.
Were you
all
at
of
the,
them?
Were you upset at the time? Were you?
No.
There you go.
Well, Charlie and I are different people. That's what I'm saying.
I'd gone through enough.
You were no longer in love, right?
Yeah, you, well, that's for sure.
You didn't have a loving feeling toward them anymore.
But there are still, there are all, that's applicable to all sorts of relationships. There are people who cut things off with their parents. There are people who cut off their children. There are people who cut off their siblings, right? At some point, if the relationship isn't good for you, if the feeling of love that you have for that person is not surmounted by the, I don't know, like mental abuse that you experience in that relationship.
That's love.
Then you leave.
See, there.
No, that's not love.
No, see, there's there.
That no, that's how you fall out of love.
See, I like that term. You know, we talked about terms last week. You know, I don't want to get back into that term that we talked about last week. But
I don't remember what term we talked about?
I remember. Yeah, it was sleeping. So anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. But the point is that it's weird that they use that term. You fall out of love. You know, when you fall down, you can hurt yourself. When something falls on you, that hurts. You fall out of love.
And you grieve.
You don't go out of love.
For the relationship.
I don't know. Depends on who you are.
I guess. If you do.
Or you could go downtown and park in the diagonal parking lot.
And go in backwards.
Oh,
that's how most people are in love. They go in backwards. They go in back first and they don't know what they're doing. But no, the point is I wanted to make there was that like a parent, you uh-huh. even if you have a bad relationship with a parent, even though you might have had a falling out, even though the relationship might be horribly strained, and even though they might be dead, you still love them. You don't say, I
no.
fell out.
Incorrect.
Well, that's not what I've seen.
No,
you don't say.
Look, I have more respect for my ex than I do for my father. And the reason is because I had more time and relationship building with that person than my father.
I'm not saying all parents are great. I'm saying if your parent is in your life.
Right.
Yes. But even though bad things will happen, you don't say, I fell out of love with that person. You wouldn't use that term for your parent. But you would use that term for an old relationship. You'd say, well, why am I not with him anymore? Why am I with this new girl? Well, I fell out of love with that one. So now I'm in love with this one. And boy, you better not tell your new person that you're in love with the old person. Because
well,
that goodbye.
I mean, I do think that there's
Have you told your husband that you still have loving feelings for your first boyfriend?
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't she just say that? I didn't
You're
think
blowing
that up.
This way out of proportion.
No, I'm just saying I don't
In the
think...
same manner that I would love anyone who I had a deep friendship with and
get
those
a shovel.
Sorts of things. It's not, it's like I said, it's not an in-love feeling. I have no desire to be with that person.
Which is my point.
Whatsoever.
That's my point. You fell out of love.
But it wasn't just today I'm not in love with this person anymore.
No, the good feelings wore off.
No, that's not what it was either. This is what I'm saying is you can very, very intensely still be in love with somebody, but if there are other things at work, then you have to at some point say, even though I'm in love with this person, it's not worth it for my mental health, my physical health, my financial stability, whatever the question is. So it's not always a matter of falling out of love. Then you grieve the relationship and you move on.
But what about affairs? And quickly here, with 1 minute left to go, when somebody has an affair, now a lot of people will say they're just doing it because they're bored, but clearly something is wrong with the person they're in love with. There is something not perfect with that relationship anymore. Now, I'm not saying it's the person's fault who's getting cheated on. In most cases, I don't think it is. I think it's the person's fault who's doing the cheating. But clearly, you now have feelings for somebody else. Now, they can say they're just doing it to do it. But I don't believe that. Why'd you choose that person? Why didn't you choose this other person?
Availability.
Well, okay. Right.
Not everybody will have an affair with somebody who's with
Well, you shouldn't tell somebody it's an affair. Hey, do you want to have an affair?
Well, I mean,
sure, well, sounds complicated.
It is complicated, and this is why the love topic is something people don't understand. This is why Larry King's been married 7 times, will probably be married 8 before it's all over with.
But there are people who have only been married once and for a very, very long time.
That's right.
Right. But when the partner leaves, they say, boy, I don't want to take care of anybody
that's
else.
That's not true either. Not
well,
all of them feel that
that's
way.
That's the
no.
people I've seen.
No.
You don't. How come older people over 80, when their spouse dies, don't remarry?
Some of them do.
Not many.
Not many, not but many. Some of them do.
Why is that? No love anymore?
Well, I think they have other things on their plate.
A true case of love would be you're married to someone and they become, well, like mentally disturbed.
Right.
Or lose their mind.
Oh, we did that story.
You've got to take care of that person until they die.
Right, and if you bring that woman in to live with them.
Are they still in love with that person?
Exactly, Charlie. Exactly. They fell out of love because of illness. And illness probably got them in love in the first place. In because of illness, out because of illness.
Yes, but we've also talked about the passing of feelings in other contexts too, not just love. Love. Well, I don't know why you fixate on love as being not
because
real.
Because I think people use that word too much. They use it more than hate. They use it more than like. They use it more than anything.
I think we should feel more love than hate.
Love is all around.
Well,
how many songs are written about love? Name one song that has the word hate in it. But we've got Love Is All Around. Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
I can think forever.
It goes on forever.
Name one song that doesn't have baby in the title.
We got it. But one song that deals with hate.
It doesn't literally have the word hate in
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Why not?
Well, no. Maybe it does.
I hate you. You hate me.
No, you hate in your World boss War, at your job. And yeah, it's not.
We should have signed a prenup. Can't you
for
see?
This radio show.
In what World War II. We had a song.
What kind of music are you listening to? Good Lord.
No, it's on a movie soundtrack, actually.
With the word
in 1942,
hate? Yeah. 1942,
we had a song called Right Into Fuhrer's Face. And that became very popular.
Spit?
Right Into Fuhrer's Face.
Hitler.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. It's
I like
Hitler.
That song.
Yeah.
Spit in
there
Hitler's
was
face.
An interesting song
who
last
sang
night.
That?
We were watching Hard Knocks. I don't know if there are football fans here. We watch Hard Knocks every year. And they had a song that was take the BS and make it good. My daughter was like, what is this song?
What kind of song is that? Take the BS and make it good?
They said it literally.
Well, they
like,
said
they
the
said
word.
The actual
yeah.
words.
Well,
yeah.
there's no discreetness anymore. People say whatever they want to say. But no, there's
I
no.
I like that. We should.
If anybody's got a song about that uses the term hate, because so many songs are written about love. You love your friends, you love your mother, you love your father, you love your boyfriend, girlfriend, you love your teacher. There's too much love in my mind. You need to limit that up.
I still think the most common word in any song is baby.
John Lennon wants to have a word with you.
Well, I just think that people use it kind of phony. If somebody said they love me and then they turn around and say, well, I love you too. Well,
there are different kinds of love.
Oh,
isn't it the
God.
Greeks who identified...
Are there
you
different
know,
types of hate?
They had different terms. Probably. I don't know.
Intense hate? Regular hate? How much do you hate me? Well, just a little. I hate that person much more.
Momentarily. I momentarily hate you.
Because these are interesting subjects because they make zero sense. And that's why society is kind of goofy in that way. Because I bet, now you tell me, before we part here, Larry King married this woman. She's like 30 years younger. Do you think she was in love?
Wait, she or he?
She's 30 years. I'm sure he was in love.
Are you asking?
Yeah, was she in love? Was she ever in love with this man who looks like an owl?
What?
An owl?
He looks like an owl. Have you ever seen Larry King's?
He looks like an owl.
He looks like an owl. Who? But no, you think she was in love with Larry King?
I don't have any idea. How am I supposed to know?
Come on, love with his money. Love with his charge cards.
Now, that's not fair. You don't know the people. You can't make a judgment on how they feel about something when you never even interacted with them.
This show is all about judgment. That's all this show
but
is.
But you can't.
We think Sue should stay on the ballot. We think Larry King's getting a divorce
okay,
for whatever reason.
But those are informed. This is not an informed judgment.
Watch
if
yourself.
You have, if
this you, is, these are informed judgments
no,
on this show.
No, they're not. They are
oh,
not.
Oh, God. Boy. We're out of time, Charlie.
Thank goodness. Oh, my.
Well, I love the end of the show every week. I'm always happy when we start and when we end. It's a little...
I thought you should be happier when we end.
I'm happier when we end, but always... Look, and people enjoy this show because they do come in as the week goes on, and that's a good thing. But if anybody can find a song that has hate in the title, not about hate... But
oh,
I want
to in the title.
Hate in the title, because love is in the title of everything. Movies, plays, anything with hate in the title.
I don't know that we could.
I want
to.
You don't make songs about hate.
No, but
sure you do.
Yes,
You just don't make as many about love.
We're going to find that song, Spit in Hitler's Face, and we're going to play that next week.
Spike Jones. And we're the City Slickers.
You tune in next week because we're going to have...
You can bring it right up on your iPhone.
Well,
right,
we're
going to
get it. I bet it's in the public domain. That's an old song.
Yeah, it
Spike
is.
Jones, Spit...
Right into Fuhrer's Face.
Right in the Fuhrer's Face.
I think of that song when I see all these young hoots imitating Hitler and Sieg Heil and all this. They don't know what the Sam heck they're doing.
All right.
Spit in their face.
First hit on Google, 50-plus songs about hate or hating someone.
About and in the title are two different things.
Yeah, I don't know if they have it. I'll look.
Because are the songs about love really about love? Probably not. What is it?
I gotta be to an eye doctor in
Charlie's
1 hour.
Charlie's gotta go to the eye doctor. We gotta get out of here. Talk to you next week. Stay tuned for much more.
Forget to catch the Charlie Evers Show right here on WWGH 107.1 FM every Wednesday and Thursday from 10:10 a.m. to